Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at caneford.com. Woodhill Community Center. Have a hand in the heart of the city. Support their mission with your donations at woodhillcommunitycenter.org. Toyota in Nicholasville Superstore. Online consultants are standing by right now to help you find your next Toyota. Visit Toyota on Nicholasville.com. Lexus of Lexington, home of the best-selling Lexus IS. Find yours today at LexusofLexington.com. Introducing the redesigned CatholicSingles.com, featuring new ways that put the spotlight on the person and their faith, not just a profile picture. For the past 20 years, faithful Catholics have used CatholicSingles.com, and the reimagined CatholicSingles.com website is ready to help single Catholics take the next step in sharing meaningful relationships with other faithful Catholics. Remember, CatholicSingles.com for faith, fellowship, and love.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Frank Fryer Podcast. I'm the Frank Fryer, finally back in the Bronx in New York City. I apologize for being away for 2 weeks, but I had a retreat I was giving to a group of sisters in Kentucky and then some family time in Michigan. But I am back, revitalized, and ready to continue to proclaim the great gift that is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I still find myself, how do I want to put this? Being gnawed upon, for lack of a better word, and you'll see why in a second, about the readings that we had this last Sunday, the 20th Sunday in Ordinary Time. We heard from Proverbs and Ephesians, and finally that one of the last big parts of the Bread of Life discourse. And one of the things I really got from the Gospel is that the Gospel today is really showing us that Jesus is a kind man, but not necessarily a nice man. And what do I mean by that? Well, kindness is that virtue that shows that we really do care about other people in our lives. It's sort of a charity in action, you know, because we care for them, not because they can do anything for us like a quid pro quo, but because the other person is a child of God. Whether or not we particularly find their presence in our life pleasant, we still see them as a human person with inherent dignity because they are children of God. And we could never forget, my brothers and sisters, that kindness is one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit that makes unity possible among people because it allows us to see each other as we truly are. Now, niceness for me anyway, is just sort of a platitude. It's a way of making other people feel good and etc. Being kind, like Jesus, means we speak the truth to people in love. Why? Because the truth offers people freedom from their sins. And Jesus is speaking in the gospel that we had the other day. And while he was speaking, his words were really pushing the crowd away. Jesus did not want them to leave, of course, but he is speaking faithfully to the truth about himself and the Father. He can never water down the truth because he is the truth. Why did the words of Jesus push away the people? Well, Jesus told us through that passage that we heard that unless we eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, we do not have life within us. Nothing new, right? We've heard something akin to this statement in several of the Gospels we had over the past couple of weeks as we've been traveling through the Bread of Life discourse. But yet in today's reading that I should say yesterday, we heard him sort of changing up verbs. And this is where sort of maybe our English translation falls a little bit short, because he moves from just sort of merely eating to this, as I've already alluded to, this gnawing upon. When he tells people that they must eat his flesh and drink his blood, he uses the word to sort of gnaw upon himself, which gnawing upon something is a very graphic word. He is telling the people, as I have mentioned, that they must gnaw upon him. So Jesus is intentionally intensifying his language, because the true life of God comes from him and he wants all people to participate in that life, but he will not water down that message of life. So he doubles down in order to wake people up to the reality. And of course, as we will know in next week's gospel, we begin to see the crowd of people who are already sort of pulling away from Jesus in their heart begin to leave him physically and etc. because the teaching of the Eucharist is just too difficult for him. And, you know, my brothers and sisters out there, as I was reflecting upon this reality, I really believe that many people remain in the church. They may not necessarily leave Jesus, but they remain in the church, but they do not believe in Jesus or the presence that he offers us in the Eucharist. What do I mean? Why do people like that remain in the church? Well, I really think there's two reasons, and really those two reasons are two groups. There's the first group, and this is a group that sort of remains in the church because it's the nice thing to do. Maybe they love someone in their family, and by coming to Mass every week, they see it makes the other person happy. The second group is a group of people that gain some power from the church, and they in their life, and they may not have it in other elements of their life, so they don't want to leave, even though their faith in Jesus isn't really why they are there. They've sort of pushed that off to the side. It's that power that they have through their life in the church. Now, to this first group, there's hope for them, and I have hope for them because the gift of charity still resides in their heart. You know, they love someone enough to offer up their time to make them happy. But for those kind of people, and if you're one of those kind of people, you know, or if you know somebody, you know, I really would invite them to really ponder that reading from Proverbs that we had during Mass on Sunday. Coming to the table of the Eucharist, and then, of course, being before the bread of life, being invited to eat and drink the blood of God. But please, I tell these people, please don't remain foolish and think what happens at the Mass is meaningless. Jesus wants those kind of people. He wants all people to live his life that he offers to them freely. So we have to be able to challenge these kind of people to get to know Jesus. And how could they get to know Jesus? Spend time with him by reading the Bible. Come to days of adoration at a local parish. I know for my parish here in the Bronx, we have a variety of activities over the week people can participate in. One of the dangers for this group of people is that they fall into a sense of lukewarmness, and that will always lead to their death, as the book of Revelation tells us. Remember, my brothers and sisters, we are called to be on fire with the Holy Spirit. Now, that second reason, that second group, I want to turn my mind towards them. And this is a group that they get some level of power and authority through participating in the life of the church. They're not participating in the essence of faith. They're participating in sort of a hunger for power. And to that group, I say this: I pity you. You are already tasting the flames of hell and you don't even know it. We know the second group, of course, my brothers and sisters. They're all over the newspaper, the priests, the bishops, the religious, in the news that have abused kids for almost generations, it appears. They gave up their faith for the lies of debauchery that Paul tells us about. And in so doing, they sort of begin to crave the pleasures of the flesh. And by having that sort of institutional power, they were able to, quote unquote, actualize those pleasures. And their actions are those things that make our days the evil days that Paul mentioned in that section from the letter to the Ephesians chapter 5, if my memory serves me. However, we can never forget neither that lay members of the church can have the same hunger for power also. You know, priests and bishops and stuff wouldn't have been able to abuse without having some level of support or help from lay people in the church. And whenever a person, for example, gets a ministry in maybe a local parish and they get some level of power or authority that they may not have in their life, they feel that this sort of power gives them some sort of completion or et cetera, anything or anyone that comes along that might threaten this source of power in their life, they will strike out over and against, whether it's a real threat or just some sort of made up threat in their own mind. And when a person gets to that state, they have entered that second group. Yet we are called, my brothers and sisters, to advance in a way of understanding, as the proverb tells us and taught us this past Sunday. How do we do that? When we open our hands and our mouths to receive communion. Think about those gestures, whether you receive in the hand or in the mouth. Both of them convey something very important to us. Each of those gestures tells us that we are not utterly sufficient, that we do not live by our own hands or mouths. Our hands and mouths need to be filled. We need life from another to live. Thinking about those gestures in this way allows us to grow in humility. And humility makes the heart open so it can receive the love of God. Jesus, through his teaching upon the Eucharist that we heard this past Sunday, is inviting the people before him, which is also us. not just the people of the gospel, but the people before him in the liturgy, are being invited into this life of humility so they can rest upon the love of God. But the people in the gospel, instead of saying yes to Jesus and this, you know, accepting this gift of humility, they started to fight about him. In our church, of course, my brothers and sisters are in some dark times right now, and rightly so. Christian leaders in the church refuse the gift of courage, courage that would have allowed them to confront the evil from within their own ranks, because folks turn to fear. Kids, innocent children were harmed in ways that strikes at the very foundation of the soul. No more, my brothers and sisters, no more. With the gift of humility that allows us to gain the life of Christ, we can go forward in courage and love, because it is through courage and love that we will reform the church and help her to be a house of holiness that she is meant to be. The Spirit has brought these terrible things into light because in the light we can be purified. Be not afraid to call your priests, bishops, religious, family members, and yourself to holiness, for we are all called to be saints. And our journey to sainthood, to reforming the church, begins at the table of plenty, at the Eucharistic table, the altar of the Lord, where we all receive equally the divine life that will last forever. Thank you again, my brothers and sisters, for being with me today. Know that I'll be praying for you. May the God continue to bless you. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. If you like what I'm doing here, my brothers and sisters, please make sure to check my website out, thefrankfriar.com. There you can find links to my YouTube channel, my articles, and my blog posts, and also photos and etc. from my adventures in Carmel. You can also reach out to me through my website, through the contact page, or if you're discerning a vocation, through the vocation tab. I will try to get to your emails as quick as I can. Know that I appreciate every second that you spend engaging with my social media content, and know that I'll be praying for you.
Thank you for listening to Breadbox Media. Find more about us at breadboxmedia.com.